Next stop, Deflation Station.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. We're not there yet, but deflation gets closer every day. This morning, the government said consumer prices fell 1.7% last month. That's the biggest drop since February 1947. Of course, energy prices had a lot to do with it. They fell a record 17%. But prices in general are coming down. Now, that doesn't mean much unless it stays that way. A sustained lack of demand will cause deflation. What cures deflation? Besides spending, lowering interest rates will usually do the trick. But they're mighty close to zero already.
Zero?
Yeah. Zero is a wonderful thing. In fact, zero is my hero.
How can zero be a hero?
Well, I'm not sure it will be in this situation. The Fed will probably cut its rate today to near zero, but banks are already charging each other minuscule amounts for lending, so it probably won't make much difference. In the stock markets, the Dow is up a bit, a fraction, 82 points to 86.47. The NASDAQ has gained 1%, 22 points. The S&P 500 is up 11. In Asia today, the markets were mixed. European shares are a fraction higher so far. Among the Wall Street banks left, Goldman Sachs is the sturdiest. No quarterly losses since going public in 1999. Until this morning. Goldman lost about $5 a share, more than $2 billion last quarter. We're joined by a reporter in New York, Alisa Roth. Alisa, is this a sign of big trouble?
Not necessarily. I talked this morning with banking analyst Bert Ely, and he says you really have to put Goldman's losses into the broader context of what's been happening to banks and to Wall Street generally.
Everybody's performance in those companies involved in the financial markets are down. So one would expect Goldman to take some hits, but you know they still are performing quite well compared to many other financial companies.
Well, Alisa, it sounds like Goldman is in the best position among some of these banks. So what's the problem?
Well, part of it, as we just heard, is that the market itself is just in bad shape. And so even if you're the best of the bad, you're still not in a great position. Beyond that, Goldman Sachs just became a bank holding company. Now, it's a company that holds or controls a certain amount of shares in other banks. And ultimately, that should make it more stable, partly because it let it access funds from the Federal Reserve. But this is a whole new business model for Goldman. And the old one was built on leverage, and the company just can't hold that much risk anymore.
So in this new world for Goldman, what is its strategy going to be?
Well, the first strategy is trying to sell off assets and get some cash that way. It is looking to buy a bank, but apparently hasn't been able to find one that fits its needs and or it can afford. And meanwhile, they're trying to find other ways to cut back. So the executives have said they're not taking any bonuses this year. Something like 10% of the workforce has been laid off this year. And there have been rumors of more job cuts to come.
All right. Marketplace's Alisa Roth in New York. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This morning, Best Buy said its profit sank last quarter, and the company plans to offer buyout packages to nearly all of its corporate employees. Best Buy will also cut capital spending by 50% next year and open significantly fewer stores in the U.S., Canada, and China.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
Let's say you've been appointed finance minister of a brand new country. You get to choose your economic model. With all the economic fallout of the previous few months, it'd be pretty hard to pick free market capitalism, wouldn't it? With that in mind, consider the plight of the former Eastern Bloc countries in Europe. Stephen Beard has our story.
In his home overlooking the Hungarian capital Budapest, opposition politician Josef Torgian claims his country is in a bitter mood.
A magyar nép most olyan letargikus.
Hungarians feel today so bad, they feel so unhappy, that they've never felt so bad during the whole history, I would say.
Bailed out by the IMF and sliding into recession, Hungary has been brought to its knees by debt, says Torgyan. Having overthrown communism 20 years ago, Hungary has swapped one tyranny for another.
Én úgy gondolom, hogy az egy óriási...
Russian tanks left, but foreign banks came. That banks even robbed us more than those Russians who stayed here.
Tették a szovjet tankok.
That claim sounds bizarre in a country where living standards have soared. But analyst Christian Svoboda says there is a growing distrust among Hungarians of free market economics.
They are absolutely afraid of the market. They are absolutely afraid of competition. Even the young generations think that if I personally have a problem, I must turn to the state to solve it.
He says that sentiment is spreading throughout Eastern Europe, even in Slovakia, a big free market success. Journalist Anka Dragu says Slovaks have been turned off by the inequality of American capitalism.
They just see, oh, that guy got millions, has a luxurious villa, and poor people were laid off now, and they have a hard time finding a job. This is the part of capitalism that they don't like.
With free market reforms reducing the role of the state, much of Eastern Europe was catching up with the West. But that could come to a halt, says Thomas Valacek of the Centre for European Reform in London.
The population is turning away from the free market liberal capitalist systems. It was doing that before, but the crisis is going to accelerate the trend.
Valacek says that's not surprising. After all, he says, just look at the West. After preaching the virtues of balanced budgets and privatization, we're now running up record deficits and greatly expanding the role of the state. This is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.